We have a loving God, full of mercy and grace. Amen? I will proclaim the name of the Lord. Oh, praise the greatness of our God. He is the rock. His works are perfect, and all his ways are just. A faithful God who does no wrong. Upright and just is he. Kind of sounds like a psalm, doesn't it? It's not. It's Deuteronomy 32, verses 3 and 4. I read this passage to you because I want you to think about this question that I'm about to ask. And the question is, how can a perfect God, just in all his ways, render justice and forgiveness? You see, the two of them are at odds with one another. Because either you can render justice or offer forgiveness, but you can't do both at the same time. So if he is just, there needs to be a punishment for our sins or our inequities. But if he offers forgiveness, then there is no punishment and therefore no justice. Fortunately, most of us in this room know the answer, but have never really thought of it at this deep of a level. For those that don't understand what I'm talking about, Paul tells us perfectly in Romans 3, verses 25 and 26. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. He did this to demonstrate his righteousness. Catch this next part. Because in his forbearance, he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his righteousness at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. So yes, we are forgiven through the blood of Christ. And yes, God remains perfect and just, allowing us to draw near to him through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Will you bow with me? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we give you thanks. We give you thanks for the divine plan that you put together that allowed your Son to go to that cross and to die for us so that we could be forgiven of our sins. Lord, we know that you are a just God, and we also know that you are loving and a God who offers forgiveness to us. And we know that you threaded this needle between justice and forgiveness through the bloodshed of your Son Jesus on that cross. Lord, we give you thanks that he took all of our sins, all of our iniquities upon himself, and he took the punishment, he took your wrath so that we could draw nearer to you. Lord, you're an awesome God. We love you. We love your Son Jesus. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's so good to be here. It's so good to be here. Excited about being back and just to reflect and to walk around and look around things. As Greg mentioned, you know, I've moved in ministry for 37 years. The last 4.5 years, I'm doing ministry in just a different way. I have my own home improvement business and still involved with a lot of things with missions and things, and do a lot of missions trips, a lot of stuff through ICE, that International Disaster Emergency Services, that is a mission out of Noblesville that does a lot of disaster relief stuff, and I volunteer with them a lot. But I've done a lot of mission trips, and one of the trips I did for 3 summers in a row, in summer 14, 15, and 16, was I went to Alaska, to Fairbanks, Alaska, to Derek Dickinson, who was a former minister here. When he left here, he went north, way north, and planted a church up there, and was called to do that. And you kind of sent him off, this church did. And I don't know how much he stayed connected with you. I know a little bit. I know he comes back sometimes, things like that. But just letting you know, he is doing a phenomenal job up there. I mean, he's really done what God has led him to do. A very godly man. Very blessed. It's an awesome ministry up there. And so just your seeds that you helped plant and prepare him, it's growing. I think they have 2 services now up there. And so just give you a little tidbit there, but you just, the connection you have has gone way, reached out really far. So what I wanted you to think about, first of all, is when did you get connected to University Heights? Okay, think back, try to remember, you know, the exact date, but think about how far back, how many years have you been connected? Maybe you haven't been here that whole time, but when did you first walk into these doors to this campus? Okay, think about how many years that was. Okay, for me, I think it was calculated 63 years and 112 days. Because what I've been told is that my first time into these doors was when I was 10 days old. And my mom brought me. And so it's been a while. And I know some of you have been here longer. My Aunt Sharon, her first connection, when was that? Do you remember?
77 years ago.
Yeah, long time. And so some of you just recent, maybe today's your first day, I don't know. But some of you have a lot of deep roots and connections with University Heights, and I do. And so I wanted to reflect just a little bit, and some of these things you're gonna say, I don't know what you're talking about. But when I think about University Heights, I think about coming here for Vocation Bible School. I think about, and I can't believe I remember this, but when back in that room, right back there in that corner, in the 2- and 3-year-old class, Ramona Carter taught that class. And I remember her, long black hair and everything. And I remember it was just the process of going from, as I promoted class to class, singing hymns. You know, I'm at a church or I hear a hymn. When I hear a hymn, most of the times I reflect back to the University of Heights, because that's where the roots are. During the summer, on Wednesday nights, one summer, we did a thing called The Loft at Bill Brockman's barn behind his shop, behind his store, his office. And we would do activities out front, and then go up into the hay mound, the loft area, and do our Bible study. Playing church softball and church basketball, doing rake and run, raking people's yards, or shoveling sidewalks for people like Daisy Wright. And we would go and we would, Rick, the youth minister, Rick Smalling, we would go and go to some of these widows, ladies' houses, and we would shovel the sidewalks and driveways as fast as we could, and then get back in the car, and then we could see the lady looking out, trying to see who it was. And it was just so much fun just to do those things. My first introduction to Christ in Youth, which is a summer youth conference for high schoolers, started here. Sunday nights after church, going to youth group at Mike and Carolyn Manifold's house and hanging out there. Going on a camp out that Jim Norwood would take us on, the fifth and sixth graders, and we would go camping. My very first sermon was right here on youth night, one Sunday night. And this is the sermon topic was this, was God loves us. And in response to that, we love him in return. And because we love him, because he loved us, then we need to love others. That was the 3 points. And I helped to join with Jeff Rockman and Doug Glasscock, and I each took one of those points, and we preached that sermon series. And so my very first sermon was right here. And I remember that. It just hold on to that. I turn around this Baptist street. That's where I was baptized in August when I was 16 years old. And I look at this baptistry and I look at that picture, which most of you don't even know the history of that picture. But that picture was painted by Mae Reynolds, one of the ladies in the church here. And so I was actually recently been preaching at a small church up in north of Fort Wayne. And they have a baptistry similar to this, and a picture similar. Not I wasn't the same, but I always, when I see that, I always was thinking of Mae and her picture that she painted. And as I reflect on this University Heights, I'm reminded of my calling into ministry. I'm doing ministry, located ministry for 37 years, and now continuing doing ministry through missions and things like that. And just that calling that I believe with all my heart, I know that God, that's what God called me to do. And I remember standing right back there in the hallway after people started finding out that I was going to go to Cincinnati Bible College and get my youth ministry degree. I remember a lady come up to me and said, "You know, you're not going to make very much money doing that." and I said, "Yeah, I know." But it's just funny. I just remember her saying that. So memories. You know, we have a lot of memories. And for some of us, our memory is not quite as good anymore. The next picture there, some of you probably, you know, on your computers, you see the spinning thing, okay? Donna, my wife, she said, you know, our memory is on dial-up and not fast. Yeah. And so that's the way, you know, sometimes it just takes a little while to get going. When I get up from doing something, and when I'm working, you know, I need to go back up to my truck to go get a tool. I'll walk out there and think, "Oh man, what did I come out here to get?" I have to think, go process that, so I get, okay, yeah, that's what I had to give it. And so, we do that. Or I'll think, I don't need to write that down. I can remember that. No, I can't remember the people. Or I'll make a list, but then I forget to look at the list. You know, and then I get out of my truck and I go, "Ah, I forgot to." I had to go back into Menards because I forgot what I meant to get. You know, there's a lot of things that we do in our daily lives that try to help us remember. You know, we have calendars, we have to-do lists, grocery lists, post-it notes, alarms. We ask someone to remind us. We take pictures. We buy memorabilia from maybe a trip or vacation. Our wedding rings, a reminder of our promise we made. Songs that help us. You know, this next picture is just a picture of items that are on my desk. And my desk is kind of clear. But it's things that, memorabilia of things that, of missionaries that I'm reminded to pray for. And like down the bottom right there, Thomas Juju Brain, one of my interns, they're missionaries in Africa. And so when I think of him, I see that, I'm reminded to pray for him and pray for them. You know, we read books and we take notes and we highlight, we put bookmarkers in. You know, we have technology that alerts us. Like this past week, my truck, every time I turned my truck on, it said, "Change your oil." You know, and so finally, via Friday, I changed it. But, you know, it reminds us of that. Our refrigerator, it'll remind me, time to change your filter, you know. And so we have all these alerts to help us, remind us of things. You know, some of us have scars on our body, whether it's from an injury or a surgery. But when we look at that scar, It reminds us of something, doesn't it? And what about smells? You smell something and think, and it just reminds you of something maybe years from before. Okay? So every day, all the time, we have things that remind us of the past, don't we? There's a lot of reasons for that. I've written down three things why we do, why reminders are important. It's obviously to not forget. Okay? Second reason is to stay focused. You know, for me, if I don't have a list, then maybe you get something you not want on the list. You know, to stay focused and stay productive. But also, I believe for reminders is to reflect on the past. As I just shared a lot of my memories of this building and this ministry and the people in this ministry, reflecting on the past. You know, in the Bible, there's a lot of things in the Bible that God repeatedly asks us and tells us to remember. The rainbow. You know, after the earth was flooded, he put a rainbow in the sky and said, I'll never flood the earth again. And so whenever you see a rainbow, whenever I see a rainbow, I'm reminded of that promise that God made. You know, throughout Scripture, he had feasts and holidays to remember things. Remember the Passover in the Old Testament? He told them to put blood on the doorposts, the frame. Each year, they would do that to remind them of what God did for them and saved them and brought them out of slavery. Just a few moments ago, we stopped to remember. It says, in remembrance of me. We do that every week. And I'm so thankful for that. That we, you know, because we can get through we just kind of go through the motions and we don't stop and spend time remembering. And God knew that. And that's why he instituted communion. That's why he's told us to remember things. There's a few passages I'll share real quick. In Deuteronomy, it says this, tie them, talking about God's commands, as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on your door frames of your houses and on your gates. He said, just have it everywhere around us to remind us of his word, his commands. Another one in 1 Samuel says, Samuel then took a large stone and placed it between the towns of Mizpah and Jeshiah. He named it Ebenezer, which means the stone of help. For he said, up to this point, the Lord has helped us. So he put this stone to remind them, to be a reminder. Think about the individuals that had personal close encounters with God, with Jesus, when he was on this earth. That person that he healed from and that could hear now, when that person woke up in the morning and heard the birds for the first time. A person that had been blind for life, all their life, and now could see. The person that would look over and see the cane or the crutch that was leaning up against a corner that they didn't have to use anymore because Jesus had healed them. And I'm sure most of the people kept those just as a reminder, to remind them what Jesus had done for them. So what I want us to do is, just for a few moments here, look at a passage out of the book of Joshua. I love the book of Joshua. It's just one of my favorite books, the stories in it. And so what we're going to do, we're going to look at this passage, and then I'm going to read it, and then just apply it to our own lives here for a few moments. So in Joshua chapter 4, starting with verse 1, this is what God's word says. When the whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, choose 12 men from among the people, one from each tribe, and tell them to take the 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, from right where the priests are standing, and carry them over with you, and put them down at the place where you stay tonight. So Joshua called together the 12 men he had appointed from the Israelites, one from each tribe, and he said to them, Go over before the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan. Each of you is to take up a stone on your shoulder, according to the number of tribes of the Israelites, to serve as a sign among you in the future when your children ask you, what do these stones mean? Tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord And when it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever. So the Israelites did as Joshua commanded them. They put 12 stones from the middle of they took 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, according to the number of tribes of Israelites, as the Lord had told Joshua. And they carried them over with them into their camp, where they put them down. And Joshua set up the 12 stones they had in the middle of the Jordan at the spot where the priests were carried and the Ark of the Covenant had stood. And they are there to this day. So in verse, and this is, if you don't know the story, this is where the children of Israel have been in the wilderness for 40 years, and they finally were crossing over into the promised land. The promise that God had made a long time ago. And so they're crossing over, they're getting ready to cross over, and God said, this is what I want you to do. And so in verse 1, look at this for a second. It said, the Lord said to Joshua. Now, when we read that, at least for me, I immediately think, well, God must have spoke to him with an audible voice. It doesn't say that. I'm not saying he didn't do that. We just don't know actually how God spoke to them. It may have been a voice. You know, it may have been a vision. It may have been a dream. We're not sure how he spoke to him, but we just know he spoke to him. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I think, well, I wish God would speak to me like that. But you know what? He does. He does speak to us. We may have never heard a voice from God, but God speaks to us. He speaks to us through his word, through his Holy Spirit, friends, visions, reminders. And then in verse 4, this phrase right here, so Joshua. That phrase right there, if you read the book of Joshua, it is over and over and over again in the book of Joshua. And it happens every time right after God says something to Joshua. God spoke to Joshua, and the next phrase is, so Joshua. And when I read that, I say, okay, what Joshua did was he heard God speak, and he put it into action. He applied it. He didn't just say, well, I'll get to it sometime. It said immediately, so Joshua, he did what God had commanded him to do. And it goes on, it says, he appointed the men. And when I read that, what jumped out to me about that is that God didn't say, I've appointed these 12 men for you. No, God said, you pick them. And I think God does that with us in our lives today. He allows us to choose and to pick. As long as we're following his commands and following along with him, he gives us an opportunity to choose and to make decisions. And I think when we do that in God's will, then he's going to bless them. And so God allowed Joshua to choose those men. So we talked about God talked to Joshua, but he also speaks to us. So what is God saying to you right now? Maybe not this very moment, but in your life right now, what is God saying to you? Are you listening? Can you hear him? Are you responding? If not, maybe it's because our ears aren't in tune with God. I read that word, and there's a hymn that says, tune my hearts. And I always have liked that terminology. It's like, is my heart in tune with God? Meaning, can I hear him? Okay? And are my eyes focused on God? I recently heard a preacher at a church. He read out of his journal a God's fighting. He had recently had something happen in his life, and he recognized that was a God thing. And I thought, man, that's awesome. And I see that at times, and I need to do that. I want to do that, to start writing down God's sightings, because it helps me focus and to see him and to reflect on him. So it goes on in verse 5, it says, the men put the stones on the shoulders. Now, I'm a visual person, and I'm a guy, and so I think this is what happened. It doesn't say it, but then I think this is what happened in this story. I think the first guy went up and grabbed a stone, grabbed one, put it on his shoulder. I'm pretty sure the second guy grabbed a bigger stone. Okay? And as it went on, the stones got bigger and bigger. Okay? I don't know that for a fact, but I think that's what happened. And I think even that, I think when they all grabbed their stones, I think the guy that grabbed the first one, I think he put it down and got a bigger one. Just because that's a guy thing. You know, and they're picking these things up and just stick them on the shoulder and carry them for quite a ways. Because instead of carrying them from the river to where they were camping out that night. And so they carry these stones and put them down. And they did these stones because in verse 6 it tells us, it says it was a sign. It was something visual for them to remember. You know, and it says, when your children ask, tell them. So this is going to be a memorial. This is going to be something. So when you walk by here, your children will say, what are all those stones for? What's that mound of stones for? You can tell them. Well, I want you to think about this. We were all those children at one point. Whether it's physical child or whether it's just spiritual child, we were all those children at one point. And you are here this morning at University Heights Christian Church because somebody told you. You know, somebody impacted you. Somebody invested in your life. It may be the minister, an elder, it may be a Sunday school teacher, a relative, a friend, a neighbor, a co-worker. But you are here today, and more importantly, you have a relationship or are looking for a relationship, open to a relationship with God, because somebody has told you and told you about what God did. For me, you're very nice in my home church. And God used this, not so much this building, but the people in this building to impact and to change my life. And I'm so thankful for that. Because if it hadn't been for the people here, I wouldn't have gone to the ministry. I don't know what I would have been. Maybe a fireman, I don't know what I would have been. It would have been fine, but God called me into ministry. And so as I reflect on those people that impacted, I think about men in this church, the elders and men like Jesse Reynolds and Bob Norwood, Don Moore, Tom Higgs, Howard Rosberg, Clark Maudlin, Ross Dunmire. You know, and for some, well, many of you probably don't even know who those people were. But those were men that I looked up to. You know, men that helped create and develop and to strengthen this church. Maybe ministers like Foster Sizemore, Harry Brooks, Phil Bacon, Alan Sheldon, Ron Cataldo, Rick Smalling, and the list could go on and on. Or maybe teachers like Ramona Carter or Pat Gray. I'm just going through the rooms downstairs. Pat Gray, and then my mom and my grandma, Sharon's mom, Dolores Kern, Jim Norwood, Mae Reynolds, who did this. This is an amazing thing. Mae Reynolds was, I don't know how old she was then. I thought she was really old, but probably not as old as I think. But she taught 7th and 8th grade Sunday school. And she had to be 60s at least. I mean, retired. And so you think about a lady that old teaching junior high kids. Okay? And I still remember. And I remember, and I've told this story over and over again in illustrations and stuff. I remember her story one time saying that her and Jesse, who Jesse was an elder here at the church, they said that one time they were looking for a new house. And they prayed about it, and they asked God, you know, would we need a bigger house? The family was growing. And so they found a house, and they thought that was it. And they prayed about it. but it didn't, they didn't get it. And so they stayed in their other house for 5 more years. And then 5 years later, another house came available and they got it. And they realized that house that they got was a much better house. And God was basically saying, if you wait, I got something better for you. Now, why did the seventh and eighth grade boy remember a story from a lady like that? Because she was impacting our lives. And she would quote, because it was a small class. And there was maybe sometimes 3 of us in that class. You know, 2 kids and her. And she would always quote, where 2 or 3 are gathered together, so the Lord will be. And then you got people like Butch Mazingo, like Manifold, who invested in high school kids. And so we have people like that have impacted my life. And you have people like that. You have people in your life that made an impact in your life. Going on verse 7, it says, tell them what the Lord had did. This is why we need to remember. We need to remember because so we can tell them it's a God thing. God is in it. This is what God did. God brought us across the Jordan. So how is your life different because of your encounter with Jesus? Who have you told? Who do you need to tell? He goes on, verse 7, it says, it was a memorial forever. And basically saying, don't ever forget it. Don't ever forget it. Remember it because it was a God thing and give Him the glory. Then it finishes off verse 9. It says, and they are there to this day. I don't know where those are, but if God's word says it's there, they're someplace. They're still there. They're there to this day. So University Heights changed my life, impacted my life, developed my life, however you want to describe it, prepared me to serve Him. You know, He can do the same thing and has done the same thing for you. And so I praise God for you, guys. I praise God for you for being here, for this church continuing. I pull up and you see you have a sign that says you're giving out free school supplies and stuff. You know, so many churches are just so inward. And I'm so thankful that we're meeting to see that you're reaching the community. You're trying to impact, make a difference on the lives. You're trying to tell them what God has done. And I want to thank you for that. So I have a list of things why to remember. The first one is this. Hold on to the joy. Remember to hold on to the joys. If I have a slogan for my life, that's my phrase. Hold on to the joys. Because life hasn't always been good. It's been tough. Ministry, 37 years of ministry, we could write a book about it. And some pretty it's like, that really happened?
Yeah.
Okay. But hold on to the joys. And on this right, this slide right there, the acrostic of joy, Jesus, others, yourself. I didn't create that. I learned that in the 5th and 6th grade Sunday school class with Jim Norwood. I'm serious. I remember that. I don't know why. I can't remember, you know, other things, but I remember these little things because they impacted my life. And so I always remember that. I said, to have true joy, you need to put Jesus first, others second, yourself last. And when we don't get those in that right order, we don't have true joy. But again, it goes back to that seed was planted that I've held on to. Another reason to remember is I want you to remember the people who impacted and invested in your life. Who are the people who I've talked about? Who are the people in your life? You're here because of that person or those people. And you may not be able to thank them because mean, my mom was one of the most impactful for me, and she would sit right over here. Well, she passed away years ago, and I praise God for her. You know, and but there are other people in my life that have impacted me. You know, and just like with Butch, you know, a year and a half ago, we reconnected, and we've played golf, I think, 3 times now since then, and we're going to play more. But I love it because of just getting reconnected, and I'm so thankful for Butch. As I look at this window over here, it says, in memory, or donated by Linus Perry in memory of John Perry. That's my grandma. That's Sharon's mom. And I'm so thankful that my grandma brought my mom and her other siblings, and we have these roots here. So those people, if they're still around, send them a text, give them a call, send them a card, do something to thank them for what they did and praise God for them. And that's the next step. Praise God for the blessings in your life. Focus on the blessings and give God the credit for it. Next thing I want you to remember is this, that God forgives and He forgets. I don't know where you're at today. Maybe you have drifted away a little bit. Or maybe you're kind of like the prodigal son. That kind of just kind of going your own way. You're here, but you're not really here. Okay? If that's you, all you gotta do is turn around. And God's right there. And He forgives, forgets. In the prodigal son story, if you've read that, you know, he goes off and does all this stuff, and at the end, he says, he came to his senses. What that means is, he remembered what his dad was like. He thought, I need to go back to that. He remembered. He came to his senses. And maybe you need to do that. Or maybe there's somebody in your life that you need to help, that's drifted away, that you need to help bring him back and refocus. Remember this also. Remember that God is always, always with you. Always with you. Whenever you feel alone, you're not alone. You know, I've said, we pray, you know, God be with us, which is fine to say. But you know what? We really don't need to pray that prayer. Because God's going to be with us anyway. God's with us. But it's for our reminder, to say, God, I want to remember, I got to feel you being with me. And the last thing I want you to remember is this. God loves you. God loves you. I did youth ministry for 17 years. Loved it. All the joys of ministry, not all, but like 95% of joys of ministry go back to youth ministry. And the one thing I wanted these kids to know was that God loved them. I just want to say, God loves you. And I want to tell you that. And so I want to finish reading passage out of Ephesians. It's Paul's prayer. And this is my prayer for you. Paul said this, I pray that out of his glorious riches, that he may strengthen you with power through the Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and how long and how high and how deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure and the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is in work within us, to him be glory in the church in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Like I just said, maybe you're here today, and maybe you have drifted away. Or maybe you've never accepted Christ. You just come to this wall up, you need to say, I'm keeping your distance, but you need it. And maybe you're just not feeling his presence or his love, but it's there. If you need to make a decision, if you need to talk to somebody, and we have an invitation to him here, a song here in a second, and you can come forward, or I challenge you just to talk to one, the person next to you that you maybe you don't even know, or come to one of the elders and talk to them. Set an appointment with Steve. Do something that make it happen, because you need Jesus. That's what I learned here, and that's why all my life I've tried to do that. Now, I haven't done a good job at times, but we all need Jesus.